thankful for hope. This song talks about that we sang just before we got up here. It says, have you stood in the night with trials all around? You call family and friends, but peace can't be found. It troubles you so, no one seems to know what to say or to do. Ever been there? Sometimes we say that's wit's end corner. You just don't know which way to turn. It says, but please don't forget, it's not over yet. There's hope for you. And the chorus says, when we pray, the door to heaven will open. The Father is moved when words of faith are spoken. All of heaven stands at attention when the name of Jesus is mentioned. He hears every word we say when we pray. As a young boy growing up, I was, you might say, taught real carefully that if I said a bad word, that Jesus could hear that. So I was always aware that, my parents also taught me that He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. So if we were thinking about saying a bad word, we were guilty too. So I was brought up, you might say, being real careful about what's fixing to come out of my mouth, or trying to be aware. Not that I always said things right, but I was made very aware by my parents' training that God could hear those words. And then, when it comes time for us to pray and maybe we're real troubled about something, like the words of this song says, have you stood in the night with trials all around? It's talking about maybe when you can't sleep because you're too troubled. Maybe because the burden is too heavy and you don't know which way to turn. And maybe you're struggling with an offense or rejection or something of that nature. And you just feel overwhelmed with all of it. You don't know what to do. Right at those times is when I want us to realize that when we pray, Jesus hears every word of our prayer. Just like He would hear, I'm real confident that if I said some bad words tonight, I believe Jesus could hear that. I believe I would be held accountable for that. It's something I feel very conscientious about. And the devil, it's not because the devil hadn't ever suggested it or tempted me with that. It's just I know. That's one of those lines I don't want to cross because I know that I'm going to have to answer for that. And just as I'm that sure that He could hear something negative coming out of my mouth, I believe He can hear my prayers. I want to be just as confident that He hears every word when we say, Lord, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to pray. I don't know the right words to say. I'm asking that the Spirit would intercede with groanings that we can't utter. I want you to know there's hope, and He hears every word when we pray. Now, thinking of words of another song that we have in our book, number 23, I'd like to read that to us. You're welcome to turn there with us. It says, I have a hope, serene and sure, that anchors past the veil. In all the storms it holds secure, nor will it ever fail. My hope is born of God's own word and nourished by His grace. His promise is true. My soul hath heard and hope beholds His face. There's times that we feel that we want to just see God. We want to see something tangible. But the writer of this song says, and hope beholds His face. I'm not much of a poet, so, but it amazes me how they put much more meaning into the words than what few little words is in a poem. And he says, this is what he's saying to me. I may not be able to see the Lord face to face, but I can see him with hope. I believe he's there. I believe he's there for me. I believe he's there for you. The words of this song says, I have a hope serene. That means peaceful, doesn't it? And sure. That means confident. That anchors past the veil. What's the veil? A veil is pretty flimsy. You ever seen a bride at a wedding that had a veil on that she couldn't see through? I have it. I guess they might have done that some. I wonder how Laban ever got Jacob to marry Rachel. I mean, was it an old feed sack or something? I'm not sure. I don't know how it happened. But every veil I've seen was pretty thin and flimsy. So what's hanging between us and eternity? It's just life. And it's so flimsy sometimes. It seems like we can be so strong and capable one moment, and the next thing we know, we hear someone is gone. Well, what happened? Well, their life just ended. Sudden illness, accidents, and it can be taken away from us in a moment's notice. But the songwriter here says, I have a hope, peaceful and confident. That's what I'm serene and sure that anchors past life. Anchors past my mortality. I like the idea of being physically strong, but I'm no match for eternity. I'm no match for what could take my life out. I'm pretty flimsy when it comes to thinking about that. He says in the second verse, I have a hope that looks away from the present, woes and tears. You know, the devil wants us to get our head down, looking around at the things that's going on around us and all of the possibilities for things to go wrong. That's what he wants us to look at. He says, but I have a hope that looks away from present woes and tears to heaven's bright eternal day till sorrow disappears. My hope is born of God's own word and nourished by his grace. His promise true my soul hath heard, and hope beholds his face. So maybe it's not just you, but maybe it's everybody around you saying, oh my, oh my, oh my. I don't know. Oh my. Have you ever been in a conversation like that? I told you here a while back about someone that told me as a young man, I don't know what I would suggest for a young man to do for a living, but it sure wouldn't be doing what I wanted to do. Yeah, just don't do that. Do anything but that. he wasn't very much of an encouragement. The last verse of this song says, I have a hope that doth not fear the silent grave to view. Nay, doth not shrink, though death appear, for I shall live anew. You know, sometimes as humans we get into affliction and we can begin to be fearful of crossing over from this life to eternity. But I believe we can have a hope that goes beyond that. A hope that, you know, if the Lord takes my life, if my life here ceases, I've got a hope on something else. My hope is not just on what I can accumulate or what I can accomplish or all of the friends and the acquaintances or how popular I am or how famous or all of those things. That's not what ultimately it's all about. My hope is, he says here, my hope is born of God's own word and nourished by his grace. His promise true, my soul hath heard, and hope beholds his face. My hope can behold his face Even in the darkest time when we don't feel like we can see our way out, so to speak, I believe we can have hope that sees God's face. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and notice a passage here. I believe we're going to start in the 12th verse. The Apostle Paul was writing to, we might say, a congregation or the church at Corinth, where the Corinthians lived. It was a very pagan setting. And it says here, now if Christ be preached, verse 12 is where I'm beginning. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So I'll give you a little background, what I understand about this setting. These people were obviously heavily impacted by Greek mythology. The New Testament was written in Greek, and the Greeks' social power had predominantly impacted the world. And if it wasn't Greek mythology, it was Roman mythology. And Roman mythology kind of adapted the Greeks' gods and goddesses and maybe renamed them to some extent, and still they stood for the different gods of the spiritual world in their to their definition. The Greeks did not believe in a resurrection of the dead. They believed that the souls of people lived in a heaven or hell type underworld, depending on how well they had appeased the gods before they died. But they didn't believe in a resurrection and going, being brought back from their soul being able to rise above the underworld. They just they felt like it was literally underground somewheres. So Paul was addressing that when he said, he was reasoning with him. Many times when Paul was writing, he was addressing from a logical standpoint. If you believe this, then this can't be true. And if you believe this, then this must be true. You understand what I'm saying there. He used a lot of logical reasoning when he was teaching and preaching. So he was reasoning with them here, and he says, if you're hearing and believing that that Christ was the one to save us, and he's the one that you should worship and all of that, but you can't accept that he was resurrected from the dead because you don't believe anybody is resurrected from the dead, then your whole faith basis is erroneous. It won't work. It's based on a false premise if you can't accept that Christ was raised from the dead. So I'm thinking about this one verse in particular, verse 19, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So he was addressing the concept that they wasn't accepting the resurrection of Christ. They wasn't accepting a resurrection of anyone. And so he was addressing that and saying that if you only have a hope in Christ for this world, you're pretty miserable. So I'd like to cause us to think about, what is our hope in Christ? Are we hopeful that Christ will make all of our temptations and trials and disappointments just vaporize and go away? Is that what our hope is? Is that the extent of our hope? You know, I believe that Christ will help us with all of those things, all of those difficult places in life. But is that all my hope is based on? The other song said that their hope anchored past the veil. It was beyond my life here. It was in eternity. I want us to get a hold of having a hope that's beyond just fixing my problems now. You know, the reality is, when every one of us here come to the end of our life, there'll probably be some, if not a lot, of problems that we would like to have gone away. It's just the way life is. You might die and leave this world and still have never heard someone say, "I'm really sorry I hurt your feelings." It might have to go out like that. Maybe you've done everything you knew to do. But my hope in Christ has to be beyond that, to anchored in something more substantial. Because he says here, if our hope is only in Christ in this life, if that's all we're hoping Christ will fix for us or secure for us, then we're going to be miserable. Because of why would we be miserable? Because everything is not going to work out perfectly in life. I don't believe the writer could have wrote the words to this song if his hope was just in the here and now. Notice who wrote the song, I believe. Number 23 is written by C.W. Naylor. I believe the author of the words is on the left. And most likely, he was on a bed of affliction when he wrote that. He spent many, many years not able to be active and up and about because of some serious injuries that he has sustained in life. So, you know, if his hope was only based on, I want to be well and strong, I want to be able to go about what life ought to hold for me as a young man, as a middle-aged man, if that's what his hope was based on, he would have been miserable because he was afflicted for a long, long time, many years. But his hope was anchored in something else. So he wrote the words, "I have a hope serene and sure. I'm peaceful." Why? Not because I feel good all the time, but because I have a hope anchored in something else beyond my literal life right here. Today, if our hope is that the experience of salvation and becoming a Christian will make our everyday life like heaven on earth, you know, we're setting ourselves up to be miserable. You know, you're still going to have leaky pipes once in a while. You're still going to have a car that won't start. Your babies are still going to be fussy. And you're still going to have disappointments in life. And there's things that's not going to turn out like you want to. And if my hope is, "Oh Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my life, and I'm going to live for you now, just make my life perfect." Well, I'm going to tell you, you're most likely going to be miserable because your expectations are going to come short. You're just not going to, it's not going to be like that altogether. Does that mean that living a Christian life is a bad thing? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that we can get our mind on things being perfect in our definition, and we'll miss out. We'll be miserable. I'd like to look now at another song that we have, number 74. And notice the words of this song. B.E. Warren wrote this. A very gifted man when it came to writing music and also the many words, the poem itself. He says, "I am happy in the Lord for the love He showed to me, and I'm resting on His precious promise, confiding in His word. He will keep me pure and free, forever in His grace victorious." Verse 2 says, "I am happy in the Lord since my sins are washed away. I have His peace within my heart abiding. He sanctified my soul, and the blesser came to stay. In the bosom of His love I'm hiding. I'm happy in the Lord, for He gives me life and breath, and He sweetens all my days with pleasure. He's all I need on earth. He's my victory over death. He's the secret of that hidden treasure. I'm happy in the Lord for the place prepared for me. See, His hope is anchored in something past the veil. Oh, how sweet the blessed consolation. And though I fall asleep, I shall wake eternally in His likeness with His great salvation." And the chorus says, "Happy in the Savior, happy in the Savior, happy in the Savior. I am happy in the Lord." So, our hope, our happiness, our joy, our peace, all of those things have to be anchored past the veil. Because I find my joy and my peace, if it's only correlated with what's going on in my life, it's going to be challenged. It's going to come up short. Because as the old saying is, there's always something to take the joy out of living. My mother told me that when I was a little boy, and it's always stuck. I mean, just as sure as you think everything is going to kind of fall into place and go the way you would hope for it to, sure enough, it doesn't. Sure enough, there's something that is a big disappointment to you, and maybe you don't get off of work on time to meet a real important thing, and all kinds of things can happen. Always something to take the joy out of living. But you know, we can still have a joy that's anchored past the veil, something that's even more secure than the things that we might find appetizing in our world. I think sometimes we think that joy and peace is what life is supposed to be made out of. And really, joy and peace are the product of something else. When I have my hope in the Lord, when I have my hope anchored in something that when my reference point for joy, when my reference point for peace is something beyond what the enemy can impact, then my joy and peace is more sustainable. I'm not an expert fence builder, and I'm not an expert building contractor by any means, but have you ever seen someone take a fence post or a two before that they're fixing to nail in place or drive in the ground, and they got the one that's loose, and they're looking at the other the wall or the other post in the fence or something like that, and trying to line it up? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the wrong way to do it. You've got to be on the You got to be on the other end. You've got to be on the thing that's substantial and looking out to the thing that's movable. Yesterday, my wife and I went over to Rodney's house, and we were trying to line something up, and I thought we were pretty close. But I told her, I said, you go up to the house and put your head over against the wall and you side along the house and tell me if we need to move this a little bit. So she went and sided along the house and she said, you got to move it. It's not in the right place. So that's the thing. And when we begin to look, the circumstance we're in right now, we begin to look back, well, I want it to be lined up with joy. I need a little happiness right now. And we look back, you might say, and to try to line this up, and we're looking at it wrong. We need to be looking at it the other way. Well, instead of trying to figure out how to have all of the joy in this life, what did the scripture say? It says here, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If we begin to feel like that, if I would just be close enough to the Lord, then everything would fall into place. Everything would turn out right. That's not always the way it happens. There's been some men and women and families that have given everything they could. They've literally laid their life down and things haven't turned out right. They've had some hardships and severe hardships. But it doesn't mean they didn't have hope. Their hope was anchored in something else. So I'm trying to make sure that we get the point this evening that if we have our hope just anchored in the whole, in a concept that Christianity is going to make everybody love me. Well, I'm going to tell you what, people's going to like you a whole lot more when you're a Christian. When people don't really try to live for the Lord, they get on everybody's nerves. But when we are endeavoring to live for the Lord, there's some people that's just never going to respect that. And they're never going to appreciate it like they ought to. But there'll be more people that appreciate us if we have a life of integrity. And I want us to remember that joy and peace are a product. They're a product of hope. And where is our hope anchored today? Is it anchored in this element that surely if I was doing things right, then no troubles would happen to me? I'm going to tell you, you just said you was miserable. Things weren't turning out right. We got to have our hope in something else. It's got to go past the veil. Our hope has to be in Christ, that we'll be saved through eternity. Isn't that really what it's worth or what it's all about anyway? Brother David said after service this morning, we're talking about eternity. We want to make it. We want to be there and be at peace with the Lord. And we want to have, that's going to be joy and peace beyond measure, beyond comprehension. So Lord, help us to have our joy and peace connected with our hope, and that our hope is beyond our present circumstances. I do want to make a statement that I believe that living a Christian life is the best life. I believe it's the most rewarding. I believe it's the most fulfilling. And it's the most satisfying of any life. I'm not trying to tell you that living for the Lord is always going to be a trial and a test, and you're going to feel like that everything is against you all the time. But I'm telling you that if we base our joy and our peace on thinking that everything is going to be perfect in this life, we're going to be miserable. There's going to be many opportunities to be miserable. So I desire your prayers as I endeavor to keep my hope anchored in something past the veil. I've lived long enough to realize that Things aren't always going to turn out like I'd like for them to. Things aren't always going to materialize like I really want them to. And I have to realize that my hope has to be anchored in something beyond trying to make sure they do turn out like I want them to. My hope has to be in something higher, something more far-reaching. It has to be something that'll keep me on track to meet God in peace. So I desire your prayers. I want you to be to remember the song that we sang earlier. When you pray, Jesus hears every word. And there's hope. There's hope for all of us. I'm thankful that we can have the hope that He forgives us and He accepts us and that He wants us to be His child. So you pray for me tonight. I want to be faithful to